This is the Podcast Replay. This Podcast Replay is brought to you by the finest racks in the business. Pallet Rack City. 305-424-8547. That's 305-424-8547. Pallet Rack City in Hialeah. It's the company you need when you want your warehouse sporting the finest racks in the business. After all, who doesn't love a great rack?
Still gets me every time. Welcome back to Inside the Paint. Please make sure to hit that like button. It does us an enormous favor. And guys, thank you so much. The stats have been fantastic. The downloads, the views, it's been awesome. So we really appreciate it. We'll continue to get to your questions as the show goes on. Thomas asked one before the break that led perfectly into where we wanted to go with this segment of the show, and that's Tyler Hero. And what we've seen from him so far has been nothing short of outstanding. Over 23 points a game off the bench. Ira, we talked about this before the season, that this was going to be his perfect role with this team, which was sixth man, dynamic scorer, Vinnie Johnson, microwave type. And even more recently, you look at guys like Lou Williams and Jordan Clarkson, guys who come off the bench and are instant offense. So, Ira, I guess this is twofold. Number one, Thomas's question is, could he be more of that de facto backup point guard? And number two, which we'll get to in a little bit, is what we've seen from him sustainable? Well, let's attack number one right now, since Kyle Lowry's been kind of the big topic so far. Would you want to see Tyler Hero in that role as backup point guard?
No. Yes. No and yes. As backup point guard, yes. As a true backup point guard, comes off the bench, plays some of his minutes at point, I'm fine with that. Doesn't take away all of his time at being the dynamic streak scorer he is. The problem is, when you talk about backup point guard behind a 35-year-old point guard, you're talking about starting. Let's play the over-under game, and if you're on the text line, throw in your number. Clay, how many games do you think that Kyle misses this season? I have a number in my head. Let me see if we can channel each other here.
12.
Okay, I had 15, so you're close enough. So You get the consolation prize. Okay. So you're talking about having your backup, quote-unquote backup point guard starting 15 games. I don't want to take Tyler Hero out of his rhythm for 20% of the season. I don't think that's prudent. I think you develop a role, you hold a role, you are what you are. People talk about Bam Adebayo should be a center or power forward. You move guys around too much, you wind up being nothing. Master of everything, great at nothing.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Master of nothing. Thank you. I'm not a journalist. I wouldn't know that. So I think you have to find a guy who 15 times is good enough to step into that role. And honestly, maybe 60 times is a veteran enough to say, I'm not playing tonight. Right now, that role is in the hand of Gabe Vincent. He might grow into it, but here's the problem, Clay. He's not going to grow into it by only playing those 15 games when Kyle doesn't play and not playing otherwise. You don't grow through not playing. You don't grow through that lack of experience. He's not going back to the G League. He's been there, seen that, done that. So I just think that's the one more piece they need. So to bring this full circle back to Tyler Hero, no. I don't want to list him as my backup point guard because I don't want to start him a single game at point guard and retard the growth that he has going on right now. He's found a niche. He showed us in Indiana, he showed us that he also can get the assists when he has to on Monday night against Orlando. But he's making those plays out of being a scorer. He's making those plays by looking to get somewhere, collapsing the defense, and then making the spray when he has to. That's a lot different than dribbling the ball up, putting up a signal, running through a play, and all of a sudden you're like an automatron. That's not who he is. That's where they get in trouble with him to a degree. So maybe it is, hey, your starting point guard is out. We're just going to go with two shooting guards. Jimmy, you're handling again. But Jimmy's been on such a scoring role that, again, then you're taking out of his sort of nature. It's just weird to me.
Yeah, and I would say this. I think we forget sometimes because he's done so much already. The dude's only 21 years old. Yes. And has he even turned 21 yet? He was born in 2000.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
So he's 21 years old. And I think, not unfortunately, he's 21 years old. But what we saw last year was when you put too much on the plate, especially of a 20-year-old, it's really hard for them to take all that in. It's really hard. So to me, Ira, it's, hey, let him do what he's doing best on this
please,
team. And
please.
Man, I hate to say this, but in those 12 to 15 games where Kyle Lowry is likely to sit out, I would much rather look at those not as a punt, not as a schedule loss, but man, go in there and just try to grind one out, as opposed to taking Tyler Hero away from what he's doing so well right now and what I think you want his role to be come playoff time, which is come off the bench and score over 20 points a game. And so this leads me kind of into the next question, because right now he's averaging what? 23.3 points a
and
game.
And Clay, just one point there. My analogy would be this, a baseball analogy. You know when a baseball team runs out of starting pitchers, how they'll play the occasional game by committee and they run out their relievers?
Right.
The Dodgers
right.
have done it this season. The Yankees did it. One guy pitches the first two innings. Three more guys pitch two innings. You get to your closer. You play it that way. So it might be committee basketball for the Heat in the games that Kyle's there, rather than mess up the head of a kid whose head finally appears to be in the right place.
And I'm going to steal your analogy. You would much rather do that than throw Clayton Kershaw on 3 days rest in June.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Because then all of a sudden you're messing up other guys' roles also. But that's the problem. They're so thin at point guard. So it's not like you even have a committee of point guards. Marcus Garrett, and he wasn't going to play major minutes anyway, was just sent to Sioux Falls to the G League. He needs that seasoning. I guess in theory, he was their third string point guard. But that's just a position they sort of left themselves short at. So Tyler's going to take some of the time there. That's fine, Clay. Give him 8 minutes a game at the point. Jimmy handles X amount of minutes. You know, Bam handles X amount of minutes. You work your way through. I'm fine with that. But don't make Tyler 24 to 30 minutes of a game at point guard, because then you lose the gains that you've made.
So let's talk about that, the gains that he's made. And I'm not just talking about the weight that he's put on. Although, by the way, I do think that's made a difference for him. I think, absolutely.
Playing through the contact. You know, it's not always getting to the rim. It's also getting to that floater. It's getting through that initial contact at the elbow and at the foul line, creating the separation and getting that teardrop off that we've seen a lot more this season.
He's always had really good body control. I've been surprised by, with the extra weight, it almost looks like it's even better. And again, we're talking small sample size theater now, but I've been so impressed by not just the confidence level, but the ability to kind of play through a lot of that stuff. And, you know, Ira, we didn't get a chance to go to many games because of the pandemic. Being out there opening night and seeing in person, and we had seen him at practice,
right,
but not like going through the intense work of having guys hit you. And then it was staggering to me, both him and Bam Adebayo, just how much bigger they were and how that translated to their games. And again, small sample size, but that's really impressed me. And so to me, Ira, because of that extra weight, because of the fact that the confidence level seems to be where it is, I'm not saying Tyler Hero is going to average over 23 points a game for this entire season, but as far as can this level of production and energy and what he's bringing to the floor, is that sustainable? Could we legitimately see him as a sixth man of the year candidate? My answer is yes, if you keep him in this current role and don't try to make him your de facto backup point guard.
He's the front runner right now, the way he's playing. And again, we're talking 1 week in. Honestly, if the Heat would not have lost in Indiana, he would have had a chance to be NBA Player of the Week. I mean, he had that good a week, but wins and losses matter also. That might happen down the road. But yeah, he's found his role. He is what he is. And that's the thing. It doesn't happen much here because the Heat don't have young players. Young players fill out. Young players grow up. We've seen it. You're so right with Bam Adebayo, what he's done in the offseason with his lifting. You've seen it with Tyler. You've seen it somewhere else also. And I don't want to really mention this and bring it up. You're seeing it with Precious Achiuwa. As you go through years and you get older, you develop more also. This has not been the patient franchise. This has not been the team will draft him young, will develop him. It doesn't happen. And when you do draft him young and you do develop him, you trade him. Josh Richardson, Justice Winslow, that's sort of been the pattern. So this is almost a rare thing for the Heat to see guys grow into roles, and you're seeing that. It's a nice mix of veterans and young players, so you can make it work here, even if it's not the Pat Riley way. Again, there were times last season when we thought the trade was the best means for the Heat with Tyler. There were times this offseason we saw it. Sometimes you have to sit back also and say you have to let someone mature. If nothing else, he's grown into a better asset for the Heat. And again, this will impact the Victor Oladipo return. If Vic Oladipo returns and is anything close to what he once was, he'll get paid next summer. If Tyler Hero keeps playing like this, he'll get extended next summer. You have to figure where your money is being spent, because already you've spent your money, $174 million on Bam Adebayo, $220 million total right now on the contract of Jimmy Butler. $90 million on the contract of Duncan Robinson, $85 million on the contract of Kyle Lowry. At some point, you have to choose who your guys are, because it's not sustainable. This is not the revenue stream that the Nets have in Brooklyn at Barclays Center. There is a limitation to what numbers you go to, even with the influx of cash coming in from the new national television deals. So it'll be interesting. I think Tyler Hero's biggest competition right now, salary-wise, is Victor Oladipo, because I think they're going for the same slice of the pie.
I agree, and I think Oladipo is going to have to show a lot. And I think, unfortunately for him, I don't know that he can show enough to prove, to overcome the injury history and the questions. Like, if you're picking between the two of those guys, and let's, you know, knock on wood and all that, let's presume that Tyler Hero stays healthy throughout the rest of the season. Sure. You're choosing between a healthy Tyler Hero and a Victor Oladipo who's been healthy for 3 months. Like, it's kind of hard, especially when you're talking about.
And the other thing is, and again, please, if you're going to aggregate comments to the show, use a pseudonym for me or something like that. Tyler's a more tradable asset because he has a contract in place. Sure. It's not the minimum. He's under contract. The Heat have already picked up his option for next season for 22-23. Fix the minimum salary guy. You have to throw in other things the Heat don't have with him anyway. So it doesn't work. It's not like you could say, okay, let's have Vic come back, have a great month before that February 10th trading deadline, and we'll get something for him. It's almost undoable in this situation. So you keep coming back to Tyler. So just a matter of, have you filled your boxes well enough? Have you filled your power forward box? Have you filled the rest of your rotation that you can move forward with what you have? Right now, you move forward. But I never put anything past Pat Riley when there could be something more instant and in the moment. So we have to see how this plays out.
Yeah, and look, you said you don't want to be aggregated, and I understand that. But let's be honest. I mean, the best thing for the health of this franchise, it's twofold. I mean, number one, Kyle Lowry coming in and being as good as he has been in the short spurts that we've seen. But number two, the best thing for the health of this franchise is to have Tyler Hero be really, really good. Yes. Because when you were talking during the offseason about potential trades and bringing in a whale, and who even knows salary-wise what they would have to do? They'd probably have to attach another really good, like a Duncan Robinson or something like that, which I don't know if you'd even want to do.
Right.
But you now have somebody in Tyler Hero that no longer would you be selling at the bottom, right? Like, correct. You don't want to be selling the devalued asset, so to speak. And by the way, I hate talking about players like